Thank you for those last two songs. I was blessed, especially with the last one, as I think of I stand in awe of God. And as I stand before you, I sense an awesomeness, an awesome responsibility of proclaiming the Word of God. Standing between God and man, to me, is an awesome privilege, responsibility. I bring your greetings this morning in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior, the one that is our Redeemer, the one that is our friend, the one that understands our pain and our heartaches, the one that can give us peace. He's the only one that can give us a true sense of peace. I was blessed with Nate's comments this morning. I think it coincides well with what I have felt led to talk about, the free gift. You may think, well, we're all Christians. Why do you preach a message on the free gift? Well, do we understand what it means to have this gift that has been given at no cost to me, to you? Do I appreciate it? Do I appreciate that free gift? What do I do with that free gift? 2 weeks ago, I mentioned the fact that we sang the song, "This World Is Not My Home." There's two phrases that caught my attention. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Is that the way you feel? Do you have a longing for home? Or, God, hold off a little bit. I'm not ready. I got too many things I want to do. The next phrase, and I've been pondering this phrase for 2 weeks. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? To me, that's a sobering thought. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? Is there any hope? If heaven's not my home, I have only one other option. And my heart goes out to anybody that chooses that option. That's not what life is about. That's not why Jesus Christ came. Jesus came to bring hope, to bring redemption. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's the purpose. That's the reason the Father sent His Son. And we talked about it in our Sunday school lesson. We were all on the same plane. We were all doomed without Christ. We were lost. That's what it says. We were all in this same boat without the salvation of Christ. Jesus came so that the lost could be first, the sick could be healed, the sinners could be saved, and the lost could be found. That was the purpose, to fix that which was broken. Not just us, but our world, our humanity, and all that goes with it. So how can we wear the name of Jesus and not live with passion and purpose toward what we see lost in our world? When I think of the gift, I think most of us enjoy receiving gifts. It's kind of exciting, even when you're old, like I am. Oh, the anticipation and excitement of children as they think of receiving gifts. There's a certain grandson in my life that he just can't wait to open a gift. Can't we just open one tonight? We still have few tomorrow. Can't I just have one tonight? Isn't that kind of the way we are? Is that the way I feel about the gift that God gave? Is that the way I feel about that? Or when somebody gives me something, do I want to pay something in exchange for it? Do you give gifts that you think the one receiving will appreciate and enjoy? Have you ever wanted to give a gift to someone and they refused to accept it? They had no interest in the gift. How do you think Jesus feels with all that he went through? He provided the thing that he knew humanity needed. And he stands up there with this gift, with his hands outstretched, and he's saying, come unto me. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. And yet people proceed to live in their own selfishness, in their own way of living. If you think of how it would make you feel, how do you think it makes Jesus feel? I give a gift to one person or two people or whatever. Jesus gave this gift to all humanity. What is a gift? A gift is a demonstration of love from one heart to another. A gift, according to the dictionary, is something voluntarily transferred by one person to another without compensation. So in other words, something that I voluntarily give someone. And that's, as I thought of Jesus, that's what Jesus did. The Father gave his Son so that you and I could have life. Free, not costing or charging anything. A.W. Tozer said, not by its size is my gift judged, but by how much of me there is in it. No man gives at all until he has given all. No man gives anything acceptable to God until he has first given himself in love and sacrifice. That's what I thought of Jesus. That's what Jesus did. He gave himself. Josh McDowell says this. He makes a great case when he describes the insidious nature of Da Vinci Code. He states, it's not the majority of our church young people or people aren't interested in spiritual things and don't want a relationship with God. They do, but they hold distorted views about God, truth, and the Bible, and what it actually means to be a true follower of Christ. As I read that, I thought, is that the way it is sometimes? We understand who Jesus is. We understand that he came and gave his life for us. Yet in my mind, I have preconceived ideas of what I think he tells us in his word. Is that what I'm doing with my gift? What am I doing with the gift that's been given to me? In Plain Values of July 2018 issue, Article 1, Thought at a Time, Martin Mann says this, the great sin of the church is that we are unbelieving believers. How can that be? We are unbelieving believers. We believe in Jesus for salvation, but we stop at the threshold. We don't enter into the rest of what he has told us because we have theological boxes and no category in those boxes for an act of the Spirit of true transformation. Our religious choices affect the DNA, but those then become our categories. We don't allow the Holy Spirit to come in and do a work himself from the inside out. In other words, we'd like to do it my own way. I do it myself. Another thing that A.W. Tozer, another quote, left to ourselves, we tend immediately to reduce God to manageable terms. We want to get him where we can use him, or at least know where he is when we need him. I thought about the fellow that was sliding off the roof. And he said, God, help me. So he caught himself on the eave trough and he said, I'm okay now. Is that the way I need God? I sense I need God continually. I don't know about your hearts, but my heart sometimes wants to do things that are not according to God's word. And I think that's the daily battle that we find ourselves in. I'd like to read Romans chapter 5. I thought our lesson today went well with this message, the free gift. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift, came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Several times in this scripture we notice it's referred to as the free gift. The free gift. It's nothing that we can do to achieve this free gift. I remember going to PGM one night, and I talked with a man who had similar desires and goals in life that I had. And that evening I recognized, outside of Jesus Christ and my heritage, being raised in a godly home, I had an advantage. I was taught the things of holy living, righteousness. I was taught about Jesus. That did not save me. I needed to have that initial experience with Jesus Christ. I recognized that I was just as lost as that man who had similar desires as I did. The free gift, the gift called grace. Die wunderbare Gnade Gottes. I used to hear that growing up as a kid. Die wunderbare Gnade Gottes. I did not realize what it meant. The wonderful grace of God. That's available to humanity. Am I availing myself to that? Am I doing something with that? Am I living my life pursuing my own pleasures, knowing about God, and yet not doing anything with this gift that I have? I don't know about you. I'm preaching to myself. What am I doing with it? John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? For God so loved the world that what? That whosoever should what? But have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So we need to do truth. And sometimes we don't understand truth, but we know what God's word tells us to do. And with time, we'll understand. But we need to always do truth, the truth of God's word. John 4:10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Here Jesus is offering this gift to this lady at the Samaritan lady. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For the wages of sin is death. Sin has wages. I listened to a man speak Wednesday evening. This man spoke about his journey in life. This man, his countenance reflected a life of sin. This man told us on the onset of his testimony, I am not proud of what I am going to tell you. I want you to know that I have many deep regrets. I have hurt many people. This man grew up in a home that was not a Christian home, but he said, my parents had good moral values. His mom told him that if you excel in school, you can go a long way. His dad told him, if you excel in sports, you can go a long way. He was good at both. He went from fifth grade to seventh grade, so he was not a dumb kid. But he had a disadvantage. He was put into older youth, and he was introduced to alcohol. By the age of 22, he had been to 8 or 9 jails. And it was a downward spiral. He was dealing in drugs. He said, I had all the opportunities that were there. His dad encouraged him to go to the army. And he walked out of the army, took his own vacation leave for 10 different times. And the army kicked him out. He was kicked out of school in high school in his senior year. When he was kicked out of the army, he said, I was arrogant, I was proud of it. Even the army couldn't break me. This man had many deep regrets. He said, I had no conscience. I killed a friend through a drug deal. And his group of friends, of about 40 or 50, ask him if they can come to his house in remembrance of the person that had just been killed. And they had no clue that it was me. This man went on to say that there was a young lady that came to the house. And he said she had a big, thick book. I thought it was an encyclopedia. And she had a big smile on her face. This young lady had met Jesus. She was using her gift. She had a passion. And she was telling him about Jesus that evening. And he said, the more she talked about Jesus, the more I cursed at her. The louder she talked, the louder I cursed. And he said, I was developing a plan in my head. She was just a little itty-bitty one, lady. He said, I was going to lift her up and place her outside the door and close the door and lock it. And then she bowed her head and prayed. And she said, Jim, you have a lot of pain in your life. You don't have to bear that pain. You don't have to die in that pain. There's a man that died and took that pain. You don't have to die and take that pain. He said, because of her persistence, I met Jesus. That evening, I met Jesus. This lady was using her gift that she had received, passed that gift on to somebody else who was willing to receive the gift. The next day, he said, I went and turned myself in to the authorities. I told them it was me. This man had three brothers, two older and one younger. It took him 17 years to be reconciled, 17 and 18 years to be reconciled to the two older brothers, 25 years to be reconciled to the younger brother. Because during a drug deal, his younger brother was arrested. They thought it was Jim. He was arrested and did prison term for Jim's sin. That's what sin does. He said, I had no conscience. I didn't start to have conscience until after I killed this person. Nothing bothered me. He stood in front of a group of probably 250 people and told that story. He even stole his dad's car and sold it. He had no remorse. He said, if I could be able to correct more things, I would. But some things I need to live with the way they are. His mom had died through the time that he was doing drugs and alcohol. He said this, in the beginning, drugs give something, but in the end, they take far more than what you ever received. I would like to rephrase that. In the beginning, sin gives you far more, gives you something, but in the end, sin takes far more than what you ever receive. It'll always take you further than what you have ever imagined. Dear friends, if heaven's not your home, then what will you do? I thought of this. We were at the Ark the other Saturday. We parked in the parking lot, drove up to this building, and on the right side there was a line that was interwoven through the building. There was two places to get your tickets processed or buy tickets. The one line was for people who had prepaid, had their tickets. The other line was for people that were wanting to purchase their tickets to get on the bus. That part of the building was full. Sam had purchased ours, so we had those. I think there was one or two people in front of us. That line was relatively short. And as I thought of that in regards to heaven, if heaven's not my home, I need to have my ticket purchased in advance if I want to get to that place. I need to make my peace with God before I get there. Friends, there will be no other line like there was in the ark. There will be no other line. Life is short, eternity lasts forever. The invitation is the same today as it's always been. Jesus is still saying, come unto me. Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. That's where true rest and peace are at. At the judgment, when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you will be glad if you have sought God's glory rather than your own reputation, if you have worshiped God rather than things, if your life has been characterized by gratitude rather than grumbling, if you have not allowed newspapers, magazines, and television to crowd out the reading of God's word, if you have replaced your moment-by-moment confidence in the Holy Spirit rather than in human and worldly props, if you have trusted God to do the impossible for you rather than having made it impossible for God to do anything with you, if you devoted more time to fellowship with the Lord and to serving him than to your own personal interests, if you have given cheerfully and sacrificially of the possessions God has entrusted to you rather than squandering them in self-indulgence, if you have allowed the love of Christ to motivate you to witness to Americans and internationals rather than having allowed the love of the world to motivate you to talk only about money, politics, and sports, and the fleeting pleasures of the world, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5:10. So what are we doing with the gift that has been given to us? Remember, if heaven's not my home, then Lord, where will I be? Let's bow our heads to pray. Our Father, we are grateful to you for the atoning work on the cross. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for grace, grace that has been given to me, to us. Help us to accept this gift and not just sit on it, but help us to pass it on like this lady did to Jim, to give people hope, to give them future. Lord, we thank you. And Lord, if we have squandered the gift, I pray that you would help us to have a new vision for the gift and what you have done for us. Help us to ever have a fresh perspective and to do the things that you call us to do. Help us to be active in your service. Guide us. May you keep interpreting this message to my heart, to our hearts. I pray this in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen.